So let's do this. If we could do this, could we just go to the section verse 12?
Mm-hmm.
Jonah, could you read that, the Moses and the glory?
Verse 12, yeah.
A little bit.
Yes, yeah.
And then we can, and, okay.
Okay, so this
and
is.
And then Nehemiah will remind us, yes.
Moses said to Jehovah, I see you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me, yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight and consider that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up out of here. For how then will it be known that your people have found grace in your sight except that you go with us? So we shall be separate. And the people and I from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. And so Jehovah said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken. For you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name.
Oh.
And he said, please show me your glory. Now, this is incredible. And he said, I will make all my, and this is what I've got, I will make all my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of Jehovah before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Now, this is the perhaps I was talking about. This is the sovereignty of God, right? I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And Jehovah said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on that rock, and it shall be that while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the clefts of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face you shall not see.
So we've got some major translation issues going on here, which oh my gosh. All right. And I'm not going to ask Keith to read the whole thing in his translation, but let me point out that in verse... So look, he says, I want to send his angel, I'm going to send the angel, and then Moses says, and he says, you know, get down to your people. And Moses says in verse 13, he says, look, or see, for this is your nation.
Mm.
This nation is yours, your people. So, you know, it's almost like parents saying, you know,
your son.
You hear what your son did?
Yeah.
He's your son. And Moses is like, no, this is your people. In verse 14, where it says presence, the Hebrew literally says, and he said, my face will go. And so they're translating in one verse as presence, and another verse they're translating as face. But really, it's the same thing in Hebrew. And the way I read it, and look, this is a controversial passage that people have interpreted lots of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying this is the definitive interpretation, even though I'm always right. but the way I read it is that he's saying, I'm going to send an angel. I'm not going to actually go with you. And this phrase, my face will go, is a Hebrew idiom. That's what the Jewish commentators point out. Mm-hmm. The exact same idiom, same figure of speech appears in 2 Samuel, I believe it's 17:11, where Absalom is talking about, you know, should he hide out in the fortress or should he go out to war? And he gets the advice from his advisor. He says, your face has to go out into battle. And everyone translates that as you yourself has to go out and battle,
okay.
Meaning you personally yourself has to go out. And so the Jewish commentators point out that my face will go means I will go myself, meaning, you know, you're saying, you know, I said I'm going to send an angel, and you come to me and you say you don't want an angel. You want, you know, we want to know you.
Hmm.
And then this is significant in verse 12. He says, and you said, I have known you by name. Now, what does yours have for that, Keith? What, Keith, are you still there?
I'm just kidding.
Mapito.
Okay, give me the verse, Nehemiah.
Oh, dear.
Wait, verse 12. And you said, I have known by name.
But you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me.
So the way it translates in English, it sounds like God is saying to Moses, look, Moses, I know your name, Moses. But what is that? Like, what a strange thing to say. Isn't that what – I mean, at least that's what it sounds like to me in your English translation. Isn't that what you're getting to?
That's the impression that I got.
Okay.
Actually reading
so the Jewish commentators point out that this is an expression, again, in Hebrew, that means I'm going to make known my name to you. And it doesn't mean literally you're going to know my name is Jehovah. He did that already – back in Exodus chapter 3, verse 15. Mm-hmm. But this ties into Exodus chapter 6, verse 3, where he says, mm-hmm. I didn't make my name known to Abraham. You know, I was known as El Shaddai. Uh-huh. And then you can also interpret that as a question. You know, didn't I make my name known? But it's possible there that he's saying, look, I didn't reveal myself in that manner of proclaiming my own name before them. And that's what I think is being described here. Mm. I think that's the meaning. And so here he says, my face will go. And that in the Hebrew idiom means I'm going to go myself. It's not going to be an angel. I said it would be an angel. You've asked for me to go personally. It's going to be me. And then verse 15 sounds strange because he just said, my face will go. And then Moses responds. He says, if your face doesn't go, don't bring us up from here. What do you mean? I just said that my face was going to go. Mm. And so verse 15 probably needs to be translated as what's called a pluperfect, or what we call in Hebrew past to past, which is to say, for he had said to him, if your face doesn't go, don't bring us up from here. In other words, mm-hmm. verse 14 is the answer to verse 15 of Moses' request. That's one way of translating it. Okay. Now, you don't see that in English. In English, you don't see that possibility. Mm. So in verse 16, he says, and how therefore shall we know that we found favor in your eyes, or that I have found favor in your eyes, you know, other than if you go with us? And so this is the answer in verse 14. He says, okay, I'm going to go myself. Panai elechu. My face will go. I'm going to go myself. Right. And then we have this whole thing about him revealing his name. Now in verse 18, he has to see the glory, and he says how he's going to pass by and he's going to cover it. Well, what is all that about? To be honest with you, I have no idea. But we see it actually taking place in chapter 34, which is what I wanted to get to the whole time, which is in verse 5. It says, yes. Jehovah came down in the cloud and stood there with him, and he called upon the name of Jehovah. Now, who called upon the name of Jehovah? Was it Moses or was it Jehovah? And it's not clear.
Well, it reads in English as if Jehovah proclaimed his own name.
Okay, well, it literally says, and he called upon the name of Jehovah. Mm-hmm. So it could be Moses calling upon the name. It's not clear. But in verse 6, it's very clear who's speaking. And Jehovah passed in front of his face, he called out.
Nehemiah? Verse 6, you said, and Jehovah passed. My Bible says, and he passed.
What do you mean? So it doesn't say Jehovah.
Really?
It doesn't say Jehovah in your verse.
I don't have italics here, Keith. I don't have italics.
Does your verse say Jehovah, Nehemiah?
It says Vayavor Yehovah al panav, and Yehovah passed.
Exactly, and now I want you to help people understand in the context, obviously, but basically the verb itself is referring as him.
Yeah, and he Yehovah passed over his face or before his face.
I'm trying to help the people understand. Yes. Okay. Go ahead, Jonah.
Okay, so it's just in the English. It says now in verse 5. Now Yehovah descended in a cloud and stood with him there, and proclaimed the name of Yehovah, and Yehovah passed before him and proclaimed Yehovah, Yehovah, Elohim, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands and forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and children's children to the third and fourth generation. And so he's echoing here. This is from the second commandment, right? In chapter 20.
Right, exactly. And it's actually an abbreviated form because there's a word here that he doesn't bring, which is visiting the iniquity of the fathers and the sons and the third and fourth generation. And in the second commandment, it has the missing word, which is lisonai, for those who hate me. And the idea there is those who continue to sin against God and continue to hate him, they bear the sins of their fathers. And those who are righteous, they reap the reward of the thousand generations before them who were righteous. But what's powerful here is that Jehovah, it says literally, and he called upon the name of Jehovah in verse 5, it's not clear who, and Jehovah passed before him and he called Jehovah, Jehovah. He actually calls out his name, and that's evidently what he means in the previous chapter where he says, you said that you would know me, that I would know you by name. So I would know you by name doesn't mean that Jehovah knows the name of Moses. It means that Jehovah is going to proclaim his own name before Moses. And then Moses had said, I want to know your ways. What are his ways? His ways isn't some mystical thing. His ways is what he says here. Mm. Jehovah, Jehovah. Now, the name Jehovah itself is a sentence in Hebrew. It's from the three Hebrew verbs, Hayah, Hoveh, Hiyeh. He who was, he who is, and he who will be.
Amen.
So he says twice, Yehovah, 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 he who was, who is, who will be. And, and actually some of the Jewish commentators explain that this is what's called a nominative sentence, which is, you know, Hebrew doesn't, it's a complicated grammatical thing, but basically you could translate Yehovah, Yehovah as Yehovah is Yehovah. That is, he who was, he who is, and he who will be is he who was, he who is, and he who will be. And then it goes on and explains, El Rachum v'Chanun, El is God, but also Mighty One. A Mighty One who is merciful and gracious. El Chapayim, long-suffering. That is, he's abundantly patient is really what it means. He is great of chesed, which is righteousness, ve'emet, and truth. He keeps righteousness to the thousand generations. He bears iniquity and bears in the sense of forgives, the same word as we had before. He carries on his own back. He takes it off of ours and carries it for us. He bears iniquity, transgression, and sin. He does not make innocent, visiting the iniquity of the father upon the sons, and etc. And that has to do with those who continue to sin. So if you repent, he'll take that sin right off your shoulders. If you continue in the sin, then you're going to have some problems. I think this is a powerful passage because Moses said, I want to know your ways, and this is what he reveals. Wow.
And I
think
say,
this is the most important passage in the Bible, one of the most important passages in the Bible.
Indeed.
I keep writing down what I found. I keep writing. I have a book of about 15 different passages where Tommy says, this is the most important one. So I write it down.
No, no, but this is one of the top 10.
No. And then I write it down. And
no,
then
this
I write
is in
it
my
down.
Top five.
No. So listen, what I want to say, though, what's so powerful for me, and you know, one of the things that this really has captivated me is this idea of being able to speak back to Yehovah what he tells us about himself. And so for me, one of the things that is so powerful about this, and Nehemiah, I want you to do me a favor, if you would, and just le'at le'at, slowly, if you could, in Hebrew, would you be willing to speak this line in Hebrew for the people to hear? Because one of the things that I did, Jonah, I know you know this, Nehemiah knows it, in the back of the book is how I would name, I put these descriptions, both Yehovah descriptions and El descriptions
yes.
that we find in the scriptures. And I have people learn to speak this, and it has changed me. And so I want Nehemiah to, if he would, slowly say this line, because when I first heard this line in Hebrew, it just, I'm like, this is him telling us who he is, what he is. So would you do that, Nehemiah? And start with
Absolutely.
Yehovah, Yehovah. Okay.
Yeah. And what's interesting is this verse is paraphrased later in the Bible, and I don't remember the exact number, but I think it's like 7 times where this phrase is repeated or paraphrased in an abbreviated form in the Psalms and various other places. Yehovah, Yehovah, El Rachum v'Chanun, El Chapayim v'Rav Chesed v'Emet, Notzir Chesed la'Alafim, Nose Avon v'Fesh v'Chata'a, V'Nake Lo Yinake, Poked Aron Avot Al Banim, Al Bnei Vanim, Al Shileshim V'Al Ha'im.
Amen.
Amen.
You can learn this by going to the back of the book.
I've got it in front of me. I'm holding it. I'm holding
Wait,
it in my hand.
Is that in Keith's book?
I'm holding it in my hand. Yeah, It's number 36.
You know, if he's really good in the editing, he'll actually add it into there in the little line because I won't tell the story, but there's just people who give testimonies or they begin to speak this and it does something. And I'm not trying to be mystical, but it just the idea of Moses hearing it and then us being able to repeat it, Nehemiah, it's powerful. So thank you for doing that. We can move on.
So give us the testimonies.
No, I mean, look, I go to a place and the guy says to me, I get off the airplane and I'm getting picked up in Waynesville, Georgia, getting picked up by a guy, and another guy says, "Can I please ride to the airport with you?" And he says, "Yeah, you can come to the airport with me." So I get in the car, and the guy begins to proclaim just about every single name. There's 80 different names, the name Yehovah with descriptions or El with descriptions. Yes. And this guy says to me, he's begun to use this in his life for the last 6 months. He's used it in testimony. He's memorized the entire list of 80 different names in the back of the book. And he uses it to share with people about God's name. And I mean, the guy gets up in front of the congregation and he spits them out better than I do. I mean, he has them memorized frontwards and backwards. So it was just an example just to see how learning who he is, the descriptions of who he is, and this is the best one in the entire Bible, in my opinion, the way he tells us who he is. This is what I do. Yehovah, Yehovah, And then this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful line. Just, it's amazing. So, mm-hmm.
So I keep running. You know, this is such an important passage. I mean, you know, I actually grew up in here. I have to give credit to the tradition I grew up in, mm-hmm. the Orthodox tradition.
Amen. That
on the high holidays, they actually recite this verse repeatedly. Wow. Because this is what's called the midot, the attributes of God. You know, we don't have a picture of God. We don't know that he's, you know, so and such tall and such wide and has a beard of such and such color like the ancient pagans did. We don't know that about our God. Mm-hmm. What we know about our God is that he has certain behavioral characteristics.
Come on.
And that's why this is so important. And so I want to quote the seven passages where this is referred to. Joel 2:13, this is the JPS translation, mm-hmm. for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in kindness and renouncing punishment. So this is actually a paraphrase of the verse we just read, Exodus 34:6-7. Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, in his prayer, he says, "For I know that you are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in kindness and renouncing punishment." Again, Psalm 78, verse 38. And the whole verse, but he, being merciful, forgave iniquity and would not destroy. He restrained his wrath time and again and did not give full vent to his fury. And some of these are kind of funky translations, but basically in Hebrew it says the same thing. Psalm 86, verse 15, "But you, O Yehovah, are a God compassionate and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness." Psalm 103, verse 8. I mean, the fact that this is paraphrased seven times tells you this is important. Yehovah is passionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. Mm. Psalm 145, verse 8, Yehovah is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in kindness. Last but not least, my favorite book of the Bible, the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, verse 17, the book of Nehemiah. "But you, being a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, long-suffering, abounding in faithfulness, did not abandon them." Yeah. So here we have seven times seven this five. Verse is paraphrased, referred to again. That's how important this is. This isn't some little trivial thing we can rush past. This is a key verse in the Bible.
It's a Torah pearl.
One of the top ten.
It's a Torah pearl.
Look, I've just figured
this
something out.
This is a Torah
out,
diamond.
This is a crown jewel.
Jonah, no, this is a Torah diamond.
I'm telling you. Nehemiah, what he does is he sits there and he gets these things so he can take more time. That's why he wanted to say awesome. No, I'm really glad he did that.
He skipped all 33, basically.
This
was the key thing.
No, Nehemiah, I want to say what I love about that is that people can actually – I mean, this is a wonderful exercise, Jonah, to go to each one of those verses again contextually and to see it in the way that it's translated. I have to say thank you to again for that, Nehemiah. It really that really brings some
– Just a reminder to everybody, not only is there 40 names and descriptions of Yehovah, as you mentioned, there are 40 involving the description of El. And in the back of the book, but it's accompanied, this is, of course, his hallowed name revealed again by Keith Johnson, accompanied with the CD where you pronounce it for us. And it's an excellent way, and it's an easy way, and a very pleasurable way to learn these. It's in the back of the book. If you don't have it already, you need to get it. My friends, dear listeners, you can get it from truthtoyou.org. And so now, Keith, while we're with you, I know it's his time, the Tetragrammaton.
Time, Torah, and its name.
Time, Torah. Well, how do we forget that? And his name, the Tetragrammaton.
Time, Torah, Tetragrammaton.
Here we are, and we're in Exodus 34, and here we are dealing with his times. Do you want to work your way through this? This is from...
Let me just say this. I think, again, we've actually, this might break the record for how long we've been doing this.
I've got one more thing I want to do after you've
this done. This portion, but I will say something, and I say this all the time, and I'm experiencing this. Of course, when people are listening to this, this at this particular time, it's a project that we're working on at this very moment regarding time and giving people a chance to have interaction and encounter with his time. And so when we're reading here regarding this, this idea that the creator of the universe has this calendar where he says, okay, here are the times that I will meet. And I just have to say to everyone, I've been doing a bit of a survey with different people regarding the importance of God's time. And one of the things I hear from a lot of my Protestant brothers and sisters, and if I can just bring this up, I'd like to take a moment to do this. They would say this, as I've done some research, they'd say this, the Jews have their feasts and their holy times, and the Catholics, they've got their feasts and their sacred times. We have our sacred time, and our sacred activity at our sacred time is on the day that we've declared as the most important day, Sunday, and the most important thing we do is preach the Word of God, and that has become our sacred time. So this thing that going and understanding God's calendar and what He is and where He is and when He wants to meet, He needs to meet when we want to meet. And literally, I've heard that from people. Mm. So it really concerns me. So I'm glad that we're, you know, obviously the transition here is when he begins to speak about this idea of meeting the one who just defined what he does and who he is.
Mm, amen.
I mean, wouldn't you want to meet with him? Of course.
Of course.
So that's all I'll say about that.
All right. And no doubt we're going to be revisiting many of these things.
Of course we will.
There is the covenant is read out again, and we have the three festivals by which we are required to go to Jerusalem. And it finishes with you shall not boil a kid in its mother's milk. Now let's not get into that again. Let me just say again to the listeners.
No, we got to save that for Deuteronomy 14, the third time it appears.
Because we're gonna the third time it appears. But the video, Hebrew Yeshua versus the Greek Jesus. You outlined that beautifully. And yes. Again, that is available where? Hilkiah Press. Hilkiah Press.
Don't you have that on your website?
And I've got it on my website, truthtoyou.org. I'm just giving everyone the options depending on where
they can also get it on Hilkiah Press, get it on Amazon. Buy it from Jono, though. Support his ministry.
You can buy it from me, and if you don't want it, you can watch it on YouTube, but it's a couple of hours long, I think. So anyhow.
That's right. Actually, it's on, it is on YouTube. It's a two-hour video. You can watch it for free on YouTube, but support Jono's ministry.
Yes.
Cheers. Okay. Now, let me just read the last bit. This is the way that it ends, all right? And I'm going to read it from a translate. Keith, I know you're fed up with my translation. I'm going to read this.
I've had it with your translation.
I'm going to read it from a different translation. Are you ready? This is the this is the Latin Vulgate, okay?
Give the verse, please.
You ready for this? This is chapter
30, very vulgar.
Chapter 34, verses 29 and the last verse on to 35. And when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, he held the two tablets of the testimony, and he knew not that his face was horned from the conversation of the Lord. And Aaron and the children of Israel, seeing the face of Moses was horned, were afraid to come near. And being called by him, they returned, both Aaron and the rulers of the congregation. And after that, he spoke to them, and the children of Israel came to him, and he gave them the commandments and all that he had heard from the Lord on Mount Sinai. And having done speaking, he put a veil on his face. But when he went to the Lord and spoke to him, he took it away and came forth and then spoke to the children of Israel all the things that had been commanded him. And they saw the face of Moses, and when he came out, it was horned, but he covered his face again. If at any time he spoke to them, he covered his face because he had horns coming out of his face, Keith.
Well, I mean, I'm going to have to ask Nehemiah on that one. I have some thoughts, but
look, I'm not allowed to talk about it. It's very sensitive. Jews have horns. So, you know, this is actually one of the great anti-Semitic, libels against the Jewish people, that we have horns. And this is a story that happened to my father of blessed memory about 20 or 30 years ago. He was visiting a very rural part of the United States. And I don't know if you know about the – have you ever been to the U.S., Jono?
I haven't.
Visited the U.S.?
Been to Europe.
There's some parts of the U.S. Okay, there are some very rural parts of the United States, which where the people are I guess now it's probably different, but this was, you know, before the internet, 20, 30 years ago.
Sure.
And my father was in this motel there staying, and he looked like a rabbi. Mm-hmm. And this man walks up to him and he says, "Are you a Jew?" And my father says, "Why, yes, I am a Jew. I'm Jewish." And the man says to him, "Can I say your horns?"
Oh, wow.
And that's the accent that the gentleman had. And my father grabs his big black rabbi hat, and he says, "We're not allowed to show them to Gentiles." And, you know, this was my father. So he thought that was funny, but it's actually kind of scary that there's a guy named Billy Bob out there with a shotgun who thinks Jews really do have horns. And he doesn't even know Latin. And evidently they get this from the Latin Vulgate and other places as well. But this is one of, you know, the anti-Semitic libels, and it's actually a great example of a misinterpretation of something that it says in Hebrew. Because in Hebrew, the word for shine literally means to horn, because a horn, you know, sticks out.
Mm-hmm.
Think of like a horn beam, of a ram.
Mm-hmm.
It beams, it sticks out like a horn. Yep. So the word for horn is keren, and the word for – that's a noun, keren, a horn. Mm-hmm. And karan is he beamed, he shined. So he shined like a horn. So it's not that he had a horn. It's that his face was beaming out with a ray of light. And in fact, in modern Hebrew, which takes from this meaning, the word for radiation is hakrana, which is to beam out like a horn. And so it has nothing to do. It doesn't mean that he has horns.
Wow.
It means simply that his face was radiating. It was beaming out with light.
Keith.
And so, yes.
What is he talking about?
So I mean, Jews don't have horns, for the record.
I've seen pictures that are beautiful artworks by Michelangelo with Moses with big, impressive horns.
Or wasn't it David?
Yes. I've actually taken a picture of Nehemiah over in Jerusalem and caught him when he's not on tour.
Yes, I've seen that.
Before he shaves his horns.
That was Photoshop. So I actually
put that in a presentation. That was his idea, by the way. But let me say this in closing, at least for my section here, that one of the things, Jono, I don't know if you can do this or not, but you know, this idea that why would Moses be shining, and why would this, you know. I want to give a little hint. You know, Nehemiah talks about this, and hopefully folks will hear about his book soon, regarding the idea of God shining upon us. But the idea that as a result of the Father in heaven speaking to Moses, that it changed his physical, appearance. Mm-hmm. And isn't that what we really want? Don't we really want to be changed from the inside out? And you know, maybe you can do this at the end. There's a line in number 36, when we end our show here, where you could actually play that line in Hebrew so people could learn it, that's on the CD. Because again, my argument is going to be one of the reasons that his face was shining is that the shine came upon him, and he overtook him. The idea of being able to hear Yehovah call his own name in the description, and then for Moses to be able to come and share that and be a picture of that for people. That's why I believe we're called to be ambassadors. We're the ones to come out and say, look, my life has changed. I look different, think different, act different, talk different, walk different. I've had an encounter with the creator of the universe. So may it be for everyone that they would have that encounter, and that we would be like the horn. We would shine the sound of the shofar and the beaming light.
Would you blow the shofar for us, Keith?
No, I actually don't have it right here, guys.
You should always have it in your hand.
I'll have it next time. But you definitely do this, Jono. The sound of blowing the shofar is on the CD.
There it is. I'll put it in.
Okay, amen.
Come here.
Hey, I got to say one last thing before we end, which is not a small thing, which is chapter 34, verse 27, I think, and verse 28 are some really important verses, because verse 27 says, and Jehovah said to Moses, write for yourselves these words, for according to these words I have made with you a covenant and with Israel. Mm-hmm. And he was there with Jehovah 40 days and 40 nights, bread he did not eat and water he did not drink. And he wrote upon the tablets the words of the covenant, the 10 words. Now, what is going on? What are these words? So in verse 27, what exactly is it referring to? Is it referring to what we call the 10 commandments? Verse 28 is obviously referring to the 10 commandments. But is verse 27, because it says the 10 things, the 10 matters, that Aseret HaDvarim. Mm-hmm. What about verse 27? And I would argue that verse 27 is not actually talking about the 10 commandments, that the words that he made the covenant with, that is this section in Exodus chapter 34, and it's not a coincidence that almost word for word some parts of Exodus 34 are a repeat of Exodus 23. And what happens at the end of Exodus 23, if you remember, he takes out this book called Sefer HaBrit, the Book of the Covenant, and he reads it before the people. And I don't think that's a coincidence. I think what's happening is that this is a set of things that God is saying, okay, this is the core of the covenant. There's the 10 things I revealed directly to Israel, but then I continued to speak just to Moses to then convey to Israel. And these things were written in the Book of the Covenant and read before the people. And so why is he repeating it in Exodus 34? Because Moses goes back up the mountain the second time, and so he ends up repeating it. And that's why we have it repeated in Exodus 34, almost word for word from Exodus 23. So I think that verse there, it says, write these words, because according to them I made the covenant. I think those are key. That's a core part of the covenant of Sinai. And one of those things there for Keith is one of his T's, right? It's the time. Amen. And we actually have all three T's there. We have time, Torah, and Tetragrammaton.
We do. That's true.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We do.
Key chapter.
What's going to be fun?
That's it. Look, I tell you what, we've done it in again. There's another
this is a record.
Another 2-hour episode, my friends. I just want to listen. Thank you guys for being so generous with your time. I just want to say thank you for being so generous with your time, because there was so much in here that we had to address, and it's just wonderful that you guys have taken the time to do that. And I appreciate that you don't mind going and doing the longer episodes for the listeners so that we can get through it all within reason. And so I really appreciate you guys once again coming back on the program, Nehemia Gordon and Keith Johnson. Mm-hmm. And again, yes, their books and DVDs are available at truthtoyou.org. And if these programs have been a blessing to you, you can show your support by donating at truthtoyou.org. That's truth2letteru.org. Next week, we are in what? Now, Nehemia, quickly, just explain this. There's two Torah portions. What's going on?
Right. So basically, what the tradition has done is broken up the Torah into, I believe it's 54 sections. And then sometimes you'll have as many as this year, actually, we have 5 Torah portions or 5 weeks. They're double portions. Mm-hmm. In the diaspora, it's 5, in Israel, it's 4. I guess we'll talk about that at a different stage. But basically, there's a double portion next week. And the reason is that this in the rabbinical reckoning is not a leap year. And on a Hebrew leap year, there is an extra month. And so you have to come up with between 4 and 5 extra portions for an extra month. Okay. And long story short, because it's not a leap year in the rabbinical reckoning,
it's
probably not the biblical one either, you have to smush in these extra portions, and that's why we have a double portion next week. So we're going to be speaking for four hours. We are going to break it up into 2 different episodes, right?
We will.
Right?
Somebody say double portion.
It's a double portion, double blessing. Oh, my God. I made me a lot of coffee.
Amen.
Okay. And until then, dear listeners, thank you, Jonah. Be blessed and be set apart by the truth of our Father's word. Shalom.
Yehovah Tzidkenu, Yehovah our righteousness, Yehovah Tzuri veGoali, Yehovah my rock and my redeemer, Yehovah Uzi Umageni, Yehovah my strength and my shield, Yehovah Yigmor Ba'adi, Yehovah who completes through me, Yehovah Yireh, Yehovah who sees, Yehovah, Yehovah, El Rahum, Behanun, Erech Hapaim, Verar Chesed Ve'emet. Yehovah, Yehovah, El compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and great in love and truth. Yehovah, Shoftenu, Yehovah, Mechokkenu, Yehovah, Melchenu, Hu Yoshienu. Yehovah, our judge, Yehovah, our inscriber, Yehovah, our king, he will save us.